It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betrayed. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scars. They crown him with thorns.
Good evening. That was a short clip of a sermon you might have heard. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming, by Pastor Lockridge. It's a sermon that's really worth watching, the whole one. You can watch that on YouTube. And it's really what I'd like us to think about this evening. It's Friday, but Sunday has come, and what difference that can make to our lives. So I hope you've had a good Easter Sunday. I think mine, Easter Sunday afternoon, was a tale of despair. First of all, my children got more Easter eggs than me in our Easter egg hunt, even though I hid the Easter eggs, which is pretty embarrassing. And then Claire won our family game of Cluedo. And then Samuel beat me 7-0 on the football game on the computer. So it's been a tale of despair. So I'm definitely after a sympathy vote here. But we're here today, aren't we, with joy in our hearts as we can celebrate that he is risen, that Jesus is alive, that Sunday has come. And so I hope we can just look together at what difference that might make and what difference that should make to our lives as individuals and also to our church. One of my favorites our pop groups is U2, and there's a song they sing called When Love Comes to Town. Just have a look at these words, these powerful words. I was there when they crucified my Lord. I held the scabbard when the soldier drew his sword. I threw the dice when they pierced his side. But I've seen love conquer the great divide. They're pretty amazing words, aren't they? And I really want us to think about those words and the difference they make to our lives. Do we really believe that Sunday has come, that love has conquered the great divide? And if we do, what difference will that make? We've been thinking recently at this church about how we can live more holy lives, because sin does separate us from God. Our individual sin, our corporate sin, means that perhaps we should say, I was there when they crucified my Lord. But because of Jesus' resurrection, love has won, hasn't it? He is risen. Love is the victor. Easter Sunday has come. Friday was there, but Sunday has come. Death is defeated. And our challenge is to live in a way that celebrates this. He is risen indeed. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, the promise of a Messiah is clearly given. These prophecies, these messianic prophecies, were made hundreds, maybe even thousands of years before Jesus was born, which I always think is amazing. Clearly, Jesus is the only person who's walked this earth who these prophecies can refer to. Prophecies from Genesis to Malachi, over 300 specific ones detailing the coming of the Anointed One. Prophecies about his birth, the virgin birth, the birth in Bethlehem, from the tribe of Judah, the lineage to King David, his sinless life, his atoning work for the sins of the people, prophecies even to the death and resurrection of the Jewish Messiah, well documented in Hebrew Scriptures, long before the death and resurrection of Jesus occurred in history. One of the best known of these prophecies concerning the Messiah is from Psalm 22. It's amazing because it predicted numerous elements about Jesus' crucifixion and death 1,000 years before they happened. Look at some of these things. They pierced my hands and my feet. My bones are on display as people stare and gloat. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. And then looking into the New Testament, into Matthew. So the other disciples said, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were, put my hands into his side, I will not believe. They pierced my hands and my feet. I must see the nail marks in his hands. And when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs. His bones were intact. And when they crucified him, they divided his clothing by casting lots. And more than 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah as well provides details of his life and death. The Messiah will be rejected. The Messiah will be a sacrifice for the sins of his people. He will be silenced in front of his accusers. Remember the narrative, and Jesus doesn't respond. He just stands there. He will be buried with the rich, and he will be killed with criminals in his death. Remember the two criminals crucified on Jesus' side. In addition to his death of the Jewish Messiah, his resurrection is also foretold. Perhaps the clearest and best known of these was written in Psalm 16. You will not leave my soul in Sheol, which was the word for Hades or hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness and joy. At your right hands are pleasures forevermore. You know, we believe Jesus did go down with the dead, came back up, and now is at the right hand of the Father. And on the Jewish feast day of Shavuot or Pentecost, when Peter preached that amazing first gospel sermon, he asserted that Jesus was the Messiah risen from the dead. He explained how God had performed these miraculous deeds in fulfillment of David's prophecy. He quoted the words from David. And some years later, Paul did the same thing when he spoke to the Jewish community. Paul declared that God had raised the Messiah, Jesus, from the dead in fulfillment of the scripture. I wanted us to think about this because every aspect of Jesus' life, birth, life, death, and resurrection was prophesied many, many years before it happened. So it's no wonder that Jesus, the Messiah, would say to the Jewish leaders of the day, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are the words that testify of me. Clarence Hall said, the resurrection of Jesus changes the face of death for all his people. Death is no longer a prison, but a passage into God's presence. Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. So I believe it was prophesied that it happened. For thousands of years, it was Friday, but then Sunday came. But sadly, to many in our world, it still seems like Friday, doesn't it? So how can we live our lives to show that Sunday has come? Well, I think Paul gets us on the right path with the words from Romans we heard earlier. So I'd like just to pick out some of these verses to help us to think about this. Because Paul touches on various components of the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. The central theme of these is guidelines for holy living, and it's love for others. And this makes sense, doesn't it? Because Jesus was asked what the key to eternal life was. Remember his answer that leads to the Good Samaritan. Love God and love your neighbor. And he gave us this new commandment as well, doesn't he? A new commandment I give to you. Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. With that in mind, this passage seems a good one to look at as we celebrate this Sunday, that Sunday has come, that Jesus is alive. So verses 9 to 16 of this chapter focus on our responsibilities as Christians to each other. And I think verses 17 to 21 help us look at our responsibilities to those outside the church. And I think there's a principle that's relevant to both that can help us thinking about living as Sunday has come. And Paul starts these verses by talking of sincere love. This phrase also appears in 2 Corinthians, in 1 Timothy, and in 1 Peter. It's a love that stems from a renewed heart and a renewed mind. Perhaps a really good example is when Jesus washes his disciples' feet. I'm sure you know that story. And the first challenge of living now Sunday has come is to live in a way that shows this sincere love, to honor others, to care for others, to put others first. I think that's really important in the church setting, and commentators believe that Paul wrote this with an eye to disunity in the Roman church. So here at Christ Church, we can be practicing this sincere love in our community, in our own lives, as a way of honoring what Jesus has taught us. And in the second part of the passage, Paul calls us to demonstrate this love outside of the church, and actually, and perhaps very challengingly, specifically to those who oppose us. That's a tough one, isn't it? But it echoes Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching about forbidding retaliation, instead urging a positive response. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everybody. It's important to say this is doing this without compromising our integrity. We seek good relations with all, Christians and non-Christians, but of course putting our relationship with Jesus first. And verse 18 is really helpful here. It says, it adds the rider, as far as it depends on you. We need to practice sincere love, love that's not purchased at the price of our conviction, but love that shows the example of Jesus, that shows that we are Christians here as the way we love each other. Love one another just as I have loved you. By this people will know that you are my disciples. That's what I wanted to share this evening. Sunday has come, and perhaps our challenge is to live in a way that demonstrates that Jesus has won the victory. He is risen, the angel told Mary. And we can show the world that this is true by the way we relate to each other. And just a final thought, the church, the early church, the people who are just witnesses Jesus' resurrection, they were still a church living as if it was Friday. Can you remember how they were all gathered in the room, scared and terrified because they thought the authorities were coming to find them? And validly so. But God sent his Holy Spirit, and that turned that early group of Christians, didn't it, into a church of Friday to a church of Sunday, a church that went out and preached the great message in Acts 2, that went out and won thousands and thousands of converts, that went out and boldly proclaimed the good news to those around. And perhaps there's another challenge for us there, to be a church that's open to God's Spirit so that we can proclaim through God's power what difference he can make to our lives. I'm really excited about this Pentecost in the Park, Praise in the Park event that we're doing on the 20th of May, where we're going to do an open-air service on our Sunday morning at the park on Cabrera Avenue as a real opportunity to proclaim God's love to our community. So let's be a church that lives as Sunday has come. Let's be people that lives as Sunday has come, so that God will be glorified and people will come to know his love for the world. Amen.